So as you get older, you're often told, use it or lose it. One of the things that someone said to John as he was retiring from Potts Frigley was, keep your mind active and your legs moving. Well, that will come a little bit later in looking at this passage, and especially at these words of Jesus. For to the one who has more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Well, what does it mean? Does it mean that the rich will get richer and the poor get poorer? Surely that's not what Jesus is saying. And we know that if you have money, you can make money, and that's certainly true of the very rich today. No, that's not what Jesus means at all, and Jesus speaks out against the rich so often, and the poor are very much on God's heart. And he talks about those who are financially poor as well as those who are poor in spirit. And you can actually buy a Bible that's called, I think it's called the Poverty Bible. I've got one at home, I've not brought it today. And it shows you all the passages where in God's words it refers to the poor. So that's not what Jesus is talking about. But let's look at this context. First of all, we didn't read the parable of the sower, but we read the explanation. And the problem, I think, with the parable of the sower is that we know it too well, or we think we do. And then you have the parable of the lamp. These words of Jesus about a lamp. And he says, you know, what do you do with a lamp? Do you hide it? No, of course not. And of course, their rooms wouldn't have electricity, and they would need to put a lamp on a stand so that the whole room would be lit up. So Jesus was talking to them about things that they would just understand. And then he says, pay attention to what you hear. The measure you use, which I think is a better translation than the one in the Bible that we use in the pews, it says, giving that, the measure that you give will be measured to you. The measure you use, I think, is a better translation. And that's, I'm not going to talk much about that today because of lack of time, but talking about God's standards and not our own. So the parable of the lamp, Jesus says the light is God's word. And what do we do with it? Do we show it to other people? Do we light up dark places? Even as Jesus said, he was the light of the world. Well, we come then to this phrase, for the one who has, more will be given. So who is this? Who is the one who has? Well, it is the one who is the good soil. The one who hears, who accepts it, applies it, and bears fruit. It's the one who, like the lamp, is the light in the darkness, shining out as a child of Christ. Because those of us who know the word of God must proclaim it to others. And not just in word, but in deed too. We should be shining lights. And Jesus says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Pay attention to what you hear. And it's not just listening with our ears, it's listening with our hearts and our minds. In other words, we're not just to listen. In fact, it was funny because yesterday morning, part of my Bible readings for the morning was Psalm 23. And I was a bit distracted and I read it, but hadn't heard it, if you know what I mean, you know. And I thought, oh, that's what Jesus is talking about. You know, we can read things and yet nothing really is going in. It hasn't reached the heart. So Jesus says, we must listen with our hearts and our minds. We must apply it to our lives. We must practice and put into practice what we hear, allowing God's Holy Spirit to bring the Word of God alive to us. You see, good soil can be made better. I'm just learning that. I'm trying to get to grips with my garden this year. And some of the soil is rubbish, but it can be made better. And how do we do that? If we're the good soil, what do we do to make it better? We need to allow and deepen our relationship with Jesus. Why is it sometimes that someone who's been a Christian for, say, 2 years knows more and seems to have a greater witness than somebody who's been a Christian for 40 years. It's challenging, isn't it? What does it take? Well, what it takes, Jesus says, is looking at the Word of God, seeking, asking, praying. These are all things that Jesus told us to do. And with the help, we've got the helper himself, God himself, the Holy Spirit, is here to help us. We don't need a Bible college education or a degree, but a heart for God. When I was in Thailand, one of the things that I did with some of our congregation was actually teach them to read in Thai. Quite a challenge, but I did, because they couldn't read the Bible for themselves. But you know, very often we would read a little bit of scripture, and the insight that God gave them was wonderful. Yes, they weren't really what they would call literate, but they heard and applied the Word of God, and they could hear with their heart. So it is as if we have to use our spiritual muscles, otherwise they become useless. Because we know, don't we, if we have a bad arm or a bad leg, and it's out of use for any amount of time, what happens? It becomes weaker. And we may have to go to the physiotherapist or whatever to get it back working. I don't know if any of you saw the interview with Sheila Hancock. She did a film, and I missed it, but I'm going to try and get it, called Edie. And she's 83, is Sheila Hancock, the wife of John Thor. And she was asked to do this challenge of climbing Mount Sullivan. I don't know where it's in Scotland, which is a very difficult climb. And it was about, I think it's about a relationship and an older person being able to do some things. And she was asked to do it. She thought, you know, and she quite liked the idea. But then she looked at herself and she said, my legs and my biceps, they can't actually hold my weight. So what am I going to do at 83? Well, she got an ex-RAF person to take her every day and build up her muscles. And you know, she climbed that mountain, and I'm going to see the film, because she said, I thought when they asked me to do it that somebody else would be doing bits of it. But no, she did it all. She even spent one night on a ledge that was about this wide because they couldn't come down and go up again. Amazing. But really, why I'm saying it is that if she could use her muscles that she hadn't used for a long time, could suddenly build up her leg and arm muscles so that she could support her body weight and climb up part of this mountain, what does that say to us about our spiritual muscles? We can't say, oh, it's too late. I've never really bothered to have a quiet time, you know, and now I'm getting a bit older, and this hot weather, I can't do anything. You know, we're all good at making excuses, aren't we? But if you've never had a quiet time in the morning, when you've never sat down to read God's word, when you've never allowed God's Holy Spirit to come into you and say, Lord, I'm here for you. This next half hour, I'm just going to sit with you and read your word. Please bring it alive to me. If you've never done it, then now's the time to start. Because that's what it's about. Sheila couldn't get to that position without this ex-RAF guy doing it every day for 3 months with her. But what a difference. What a difference my life and your life would be if we spent more time seeking God's word, asking him to help us, praying and coming into his presence. Our relationship with Jesus would be so much richer. So are our spiritual muscles in good order? Do we exercise them as we should? Do we talk about Jesus as though he's our friend? You know, when we talk with our friends, we talk about this friend and that friend, and what about our friend Jesus? Do we talk about him? So, what about my spiritual muscles and yours? Are they weak or are they strong? Has your relationship just become a ritual or a routine? Or as the light of Jesus in your life become dimmed? It's challenging, isn't it, to ask these questions of ourselves. But the great thing is God is here to help us. We don't have to do it alone. God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Yes, we can. And what kind of good soil do we want to be? Do we want to give fruit that's 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold? You see, there's an option there, isn't there? Jesus says, those who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold and 100-fold. So we're not all good to do the same. Why not? Maybe that's because of our passion for Christ. But let's aim for the top. Aspiration is a great thing. Let's have a passion for God that means we can't wait to read his word, that we can't wait to pray. We can't wait to receive all the blessings that he wants to give to us. More will be added to us, a little bit like the parable of the talents. So as we do that, we will grow in our relationship with Jesus. And the one who has, the one who is in that soil, that good soil, we will gain more. And it says in God's words that God wants to do even more abundantly than we can ever dream of. How wonderful is that? But then it says, the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've been washed and forgiven in the blood of Jesus, this isn't you. So don't be afraid, this is not you. If you're not as passionate as you should be, if you've not been spending time with Jesus as you should be, this is still not you. This is the one who in verse 18 and 19 that was read to us, hear God's word, I'll just read it again. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. They're the ones who hear God's word. I really believe they hear it. But it doesn't have an impact because everything else is more important. The amassing of material things, the cares of the world, the lure of wealth. They know the way, but too many things are more important. And so they choke the word. So the word is gone. It's been taken away. Not by God, but by the fact that everything else crowds it out. How sad is that? I know some people like that who I believe God has really spoken to. And yet, they just seem to walk away. We need to pray for them. Because God loves them like he loves you and me. But Jesus wants to make a difference in your life. So where are you today? I hope that none of you are in the position that you have heard and not responded. But if you are, Jesus wants to make a difference in your life. He wants you to allow him to forgive you and cleanse you, give you a new life. But for those of us who know that Jesus is our friend, he's our Savior, and we really do want to please him, we really do want to follow him, let's ask God to make us, as it were, better soil. Let's draw close to him. Let's live out his forgiveness, his gentleness, his patience, his kindness, his prayerfulness. Because as we do, we will grow in Christ. We will gain more from his word. We call it in the Bible, don't we, a process of sanctification. That's what it's about. It's about God having his way in our lives, changing us so that we become more like him. So let's be encouraged by these words. Yes, God wants to do abundantly more in us and through us than we can ever dream of. That's great news. Praise the Lord. Amen.